Well, g'day everyone. Thanks for joining us this week. We're on the journey. We're going to be entering into the theme set out for us on the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're getting really close to a time of year that lots and lots of churches refer to as Lent, certainly from my church tradition, which is the Catholic Church. We enter into that season with a great deal of expectation, preparation, leading us into Easter. Lots of prayer, lots of fasting, doing that journey through the scriptures with Jesus to Jerusalem. And so we're just a few weeks out from that and coming to what we call ordinary time, where we just move ordinarily through all of the scriptures. We do that over the course of a few years in the cycle, move through the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. This week, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 40 to 45. And we're going to talk about, in the reflection, leprosy. We'll come back and I'll introduce that a little bit more in a moment. You'll also hear from Mother Hilda Scott from the Abbey. And she's got a piece for us called Get Even. And she wants to break open to some of the attitudinal things that are part of people who want to get even when things don't go their way. Dr. Byron and Francine Parola are going to talk about daily appreciation of your spouse. Pete Gilmore's with us. So is Father Dave Callahan. And wonderful. I have Trish McCarthy on the show again this week for us too. She's going to talk about what it means to be in the evening of your life. Now, a few people in that position, big cheerio to my mum and dad. Mum in particular, who's recovering from some big cancer treatments, and very joyously so, and very trustingly so too. Great music right throughout the show too. But to start, we've got an awesome reflection. It's going to be read by Sister Monica Barlow. She's a Josephite. And she's going to present beautifully for us the writings of Father Dennis Ham, who's a Jesuit. He's the Emeritus Professor of the New Testament in Omaha in the United States. He's published so many articles on the scriptures in a range of journals around the world. Written multiple books on the Bible and on scripture. He's got lots of powerful things to say in this breaking open of this scripture. But in this instance, he's asking us to see if we can place ourselves in the sandals of the untouchable man, this leper we're going to hear about in this stories today. It's really quite profound. So let's hear the gospel proclaimed first of all by Max Norden. Thank you, Max. And then Sister Monica is going to move us through very beautifully this reflection that's been written by Father Dennis Ham. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We've got a lot to get through this week, but I am so pleased you've joined us on the journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and pleaded on his knees. If you want to, he said, you can cure me. Feeling sorry for him, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Of course I want to, he said. Be cured. And the leprosy left him at once and he was cured. Jesus immediately sent him away and sternly ordered him, mind you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and make the offering for your healing prescribed by Moses as evidence of your recovery. The man went away, but then started talking about it freely and telling the story everywhere, so that Jesus could no longer go openly into any town, but had to stay outside in places where nobody lived. Even so, people from all around would come to him. The Gospel of the Lord. And now, today's Gospel reflection, written by Father Dennis Ham and read by Sister Monica Barlow.
Who is a leper today? First, a necessary note that is both linguistic and clinical. In our Bible translations, leper has a different meaning from how we define it today. Hansen's disease is what we commonly call leprosy. However, in the Bible, there is a group of skin diseases characterized by scaling and peeling, which were thought to render a person ritually polluted. Persons beset with those skin diseases were instructed to absent themselves from the community, to set themselves apart by dress, and to warn those approaching them with cries of, unclean, unclean. The encounter between Jesus and the leper in this Sunday's reading is instructive. First, though the law commands the man to keep his distance, he dares to approach Jesus. The source of his confidence is expressed in his words. If you wish, you can make me clean. He knows that Jesus can mediate healing. It is telling that he asks for cleansing, a word that refers to the removal of ritual pollution. For him to be restored to the worshipping community is as important as to be healed from the discomfort of the skin ailment. Jesus' response, Mark tells us, springs from compassion. He stretches out his hand, touches the man, and says, "I do will it. Be made clean." Notice that this gesture technically puts Jesus in violation of the Torah, for coming in contact with the ritually unclean would render him ritually unclean. Still, because the man's greatest suffering is his exclusion from the community, his status as an untouchable, Jesus touches him. What is more, by mandating the healing in terms of ritual purity, be cleansed, Jesus is taking upon himself the role of the temple priest. And yet, Jesus is quick to honour another of the Levitical rules by insisting that the healed and cleansed man get checked out by the priest and offer the required sacrifice. This is a powerful illustration of the way Jesus related to his tradition. He is a Torah-keeping Jew. Always, he affirms the theological and moral vision of the law of Moses. However, he will sometimes transgress ritual or ceremonial law when meeting a human need calls for it. Thus, he eats with the unclean and heals, that is, does medical work, on the Sabbath. But these exceptions are always at the service of the essential commandment, love of God and love of neighbour. This episode invites us into the life of grace in two powerful ways. We can place ourselves in the sandals of the untouchable man and present ourselves to Jesus the healer with the leper's profound confidence in Jesus' compassion and power to restore us. Or we may be led to acknowledge some outsider in our own lives who could use our compassion and readiness to reach out.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews and wisdom for living life to the full.
Broken every part, my unbelieving heart. could be made new, come woo and come ridicule.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I had to go to Sydney recently, and on the way home passed a sign that truly intrigued me. I think it's a sign from some form of litigation firm. It went like this: don't suffer in silence. Get even, make them pay. Unfortunately, it's all too true, that kind of thinking. Be it ever so subtle, it creeps into all our lives. They can't do that to me. Who does he think he is? I'm going to make them pay for that. She'll never do that to me again. Don't let them get away with that. And so it goes on and on. True, it is not always a good thing to suffer in silence. And it is necessary from time to time for ourselves and others to see the weight and consequences of what we've done. And a certain degree of atonement is necessary. Indeed, it's vitally important. Some of us aren't able to forgive ourselves unless we make some kind of restitution. Seeing justice done is important too. So often, some people can't move on unless they see that justice is done. While all that is true, Christians are people who don't have that as their first point of reference. Their first point of reference is Jesus, who waits for us to hear the story of our pain, who wants to reach our anguish in places where real healing can begin. Our first stop is Him. No, don't suffer in silence, absolutely. Tell Him about it. Again and again and again. He knows that the story of our pain has to be told again and again and again. Then we'll be in a place to hear the Jesus who told us about real healing, about turning the other cheek, about loving our enemies, about the shepherd who carried these little sheep home. Don't be in too much of a hurry to forgive either. It takes a long time. Let Jesus do it for you until you're ready. It may take a lifetime, but that's all right. You've got a lifetime and beyond. Christians are people who rely on God to pick up the tab. You don't have to do it. And we don't have to suffer in silence or get even or make them pay.
Thank you to Mother Hilda Scott there. She had a great piece for us there that she called Get Even. Reflection that she had put on her heart after seeing a sign that said, don't suffer in silence, get even, make them pay. Now that prompted Hilda to reflect on attitudes to atonement, to mercy, to forgiveness, and healing our own response when we feel wronged. Thank you, Mother Hilda. That's tough to do, but some great insights for us there. After the break, Byron and Francine are going to give us something that's easy to do and so powerful. Appreciation, daily appreciation of your spouse and how powerful it is in the married relationship. First up, though, here's Cella and the song, Hello Grace. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy and I'm so pleased you joined us this week on The Journey. Thank you.
yoke is easy. I've heard it said his burden should be light. Well, it seems to me he's gonna have to help me, 'cause right now it seems I'm fighting for my life.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Here's Byron and Francine Parola with Smart Loving, tips for vibrant marriages and family life.
The other day, we got a lovely thank you letter from one of the couples who had done one of our marriage courses. They had received so much benefit from the course, it was really touching to hear their feedback, and it helped us to reconnect with the value of our work.
And today we're talking about that great topic, appreciation.
We all love to be appreciated. It feels great. It helps us to feel positive towards ourselves and towards the person expressing the appreciation. It's a genuinely loving gesture to express appreciation to another, and in marriage particularly, it is a valuable relationship habit.
So why is expressing appreciation of our spouse such a powerful force for good? Well, firstly, when we express appreciation, we focus on the goodness of the other. No matter how irritated or hurt we may be with each other, we can always find something to appreciate. The simple act of appreciation can help tame in us any sense of self-pity and build positive feelings of well-being within us.
Appreciation also helps us become more resilient and more able to tolerate each other's failings. It is a practical form of that age-old wisdom of counting our blessings. Regular appreciation of each other fosters the virtue of gratitude and enables us to capitalise on the innate joyfulness in our life.
And finally, a habit of daily appreciation works a treat when it comes to helping each other learn the best ways to love one another. We all experience love uniquely. If we feel most loved by our spouse when they act in a certain way, it helps to let them know that. And we can best do that by expressing our appreciation. This tells our spouse that they are loving us well and to keep it coming.
If we are smart, we'll be watching for the signs of appreciation to learn more about what really makes the love we give hit the mark. Most of us inadvertently adopt a dumb loving behavioural habit in marriage. We criticise our spouse for undesirable actions and remain silent on the desirable ones. It leaves us in a constant state of failure and provides no pathway to success. It is far more effective and enlivening to focus on what works. After all want success in marriage.
We're Francine and Byron Parola. For more tips on relationships, visit smartloving.org.
Thanks to Dr. Byron Francine Parola there. Just the powerful impact of daily appreciation in our lives. It creates positive feelings, builds the relationship, the married relationship in particular, when we focus on the goodness of the other. To take the time, as they said, to count your blessings today with your spouse. Doing it together is powerful. Coming up now is Andrea Marie and the song Are You There? After the break, a couple of really awesome gents. Peter Gilmore is going to give us some insight in his Living the Gospel segment. He's going to talk to us about God's grace and desiring heaven. We'll also be hearing from Father Dave Callahan. Faith, Hope, Love and Life. My name's Jude Hennessy. You're getting some great content this week. I hope you're enjoying it. And you're on the journey.
Are you there? Are you there? just one question. If I saw you out walking, would I know that it's you? Would I know that it's you? Would I know that it's you?
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
Now let's live the gospel with Pete Gilmore.
It's no secret that I enjoy a good steak, and there is a certain restaurant that I like to go to for my birthday each year. One year, I arranged the dinner and invited a few friends to come celebrate with me. It was a reservation for 8. I arrived at the restaurant right on 7 p.m. as planned. Well, 10 minutes passed, no one arrived. Then 15 minutes, then 25 minutes. If it gets to 30 minutes, I give up. Clearly they don't care, and I was foolish to think they ever did. How embarrassing. The wait staff looked on sheepishly. Poor guy. Must have been stood up, I'm sure they thought. In the Christian faith, we talk a lot about hope. Hope for heaven, hope for new life, hope for blessing. But we talk about hope a lot in the everyday as well. We hope a day goes well. We hope the cake cooks properly. We hope we didn't forget Pete's birthday. It's okay, it only stings a little. But this isn't the hope we read about in the Bible. Hope is a grace that we have through Jesus that helps us desire heaven. It's the virtue that doesn't just wishfully think that maybe one day things will be okay. It's the virtue that puts us in a certainty that in the end, God finishes the story he began and finishes it well. Jesus always has the last word. My dinner ended up okay. People were just late. Human hope is full of holes. It's full of past hurt and broken promises, and in the tension, it often fails. This week, I pray that God fills us with his hope, a hope that will keep our eyes fixed upon the prize of heaven. God bless.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
like that. It's Pat Barrett, Build My Life. Before that, we heard from Pete Gilmore. He's living the gospel segment, and he had a piece for us this week that he called Reservation for Eight. He pointed out for us how hope in those little things that are part of our everyday lives is very different to the hope of Scripture. God's hope is grace through Jesus that lets us desire heaven. It's not wishful thinking, not wishful human thinking, but God's promise. And therefore, it's got certainty. A certain hope. Thank you, Pete. Really powerful input. Don't forget you can go and listen to what Pete's just said there again, or any of our presenters this week or previous weeks. You can go and click on any of their icons, any of our individual presenters, whether it be Trish McCarthy, Pete Gilmore, Father Dave Callahan, who you're about from here, from Mother Hilda Scott, the Parolas. There's so many. Just go to jcr.org.au. You can check out this show, past shows. You can sign up and get it sent to you as a podcast each week. You can keep listening in whatever way you currently are too. We just love that people are listening through the many, many radio stations around Australia that are now playing this show weekly, and in some instances, actually lots of instances, playing it twice a week, which we just love. Coming up now is Father Dave Callahan. He's making the point that we can make a whole lot of assumptions about other people, but we are not all-knowing, like God is. And therefore, we need God to guide us through the stuff that we can't see, that we can't sense, and to trust that he'll guide us in the relationships, the conversations, the thinking that we're having in our relationships with other people. Then we'll hear from Andrew Peterson and the song World Travel after the break. Trish McCarthy's going to round out the show for us. Faith, hope, love and life. That's what the journey's all about. I'm so glad that you are listening in this week.
Here are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
An amazing thing always seems to happen when people get offended or when they enter into conflict with another person. They suddenly become omniscient. We normally attribute this virtue of being all-knowing only to God. Yet something happens when people are angry, where they suddenly have the ability to know the inner thoughts and motivations of the person who offended them. Sometimes, even when the person who offended them comes to apologize, the victim will walk away believing that their attacker has not told the whole truth, because they somehow have access to the real truth. This is where we need a reality check. We don't know what the other person is thinking, and we don't have a complete awareness of the inner life of the other person. We need to have the humility to allow God to be the all-knowing one, and realize that we often have not seen the whole picture. If we can approach with a genuine desire to learn about the things that we don't know, then we'll often be surprised to find that the other person isn't as horrible as we first thought. I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
Hi, this is Mandy from Diamond Creek, Victoria, and you're listening to The Journey.
Well, I grew up in a little town, a southern mix of lost and found, where most folks seem to stick around. Oh, but I could hear the highway song. I'd sit out on the dock till dawn and dream about the great beyond. I dreamed that I was a world traveler, set me loose to find my way. Get me out on the road someday with my sails unfurled. So many mysteries I wanted to unravel. If I could travel the world. Soon enough I had my way. I saw the world the Lord has made, mostly from the interstate. But I had hardly seen a thing until I gave that golden ring to the one who gave her heart to me. And I became a world traveler. That's the day I hit the road. I walked the hills of the human soul of a tender girl. I'm a world traveler. She opened the gate and took my hand, led me into the mystic land where her galaxies swirl. So many mysteries I never will unravel. I wanna travel the world.
into my street, just a few doors down, up the hill and into the trees. There's a hole in the ground where we travel the caverns so deep, wander the wonders so wide. It was right beneath our feet all this time, all this time. Well, tonight I saw the children in their rooms, little flowers all in bloom, burning suns and silver moon. And somehow in those starry skies, the image of the Maker lies right here beneath my roof tonight. So hold on tight, I'm a world traveler. Yeah. Oh, I'm a world traveler. Pack your bags and dig down deep. Ride the storms and sail the seas to the distant pole. I'm a world traveler into these uncharted lands, to blaze a trail in the vast expanse of the heart and soul. In the grace of the God of peace, let's wade into the battle. So come on, come on with me and get up in that saddle. There's a million mysteries I'm ready to unravel. Let's travel the world. So come on, come on with me. I wanna travel the world. So come on, come on with me.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
Have you ever stopped to notice how your body, mind, and heart are aging? Not just what you look like, but the manner in which that growth towards wholeness is unfolding. Have you ever considered how it is that you are aging? It happens to all of us, but with varying degrees of success. And by that I don't mean that we are graded in a pass or fail manner, but there are some things we could consider in the pursuit of aging well. Being more alive, more whole at the end of our life than when we started. As a young person, it can seem silly to consider growing older. But if you speak to those who are, many would attest to the feeling of it creeping up on them. I once encountered a beautiful image of a man who would take a walk with Jesus every day, in his heart, his mind, his soul. They would talk freely about his life, his journey, his learnings, and what Jesus wanted to share and bless him with. One day when they were out walking, Jesus said to the man, "You know, we are much closer to my home than yours at this moment in time. How about you come with me to my home?" And so he did. St. John of the Cross talks about the evening of our life, and I appreciate the use of his words to build on the story I shared. As we move toward the evening of our life, do you consider how fit you are? I'm not necessarily talking about athlete fitness, though being physically capable is tied into our holistic approach. But fitness also refers to our suitability or capability to fulfill a particular task or role. Are we spiritually fit to enter or receive the kingdom of heaven? Are we emotionally fit to approach the evening of our life? Is our body physically fit to serve us as we grow older? Each day, each moment, is an opportunity to prepare and ready ourselves to receive a gift we cannot possibly conceive of its richness. This life is not just for the body, but for the soul. So how are you using your God-given body to prepare yourself to receive the kingdom of God in your heart?
Never runs dry. Drink of the water. of His goodness, find what you're looking for.
Nice song to round out the show there, We the Kingdom, the song God So Loved the World. For that, Trish McCarthy spoke about some of the features of being in the evening of your life. She asked the question, are we aging well, and gave us some tips to be able to do so, maturing into His blessings and wisdom. Thank you, Trish. Thank you to all of our presenters, to Father Dave Callahan, Pete Gilmore, great to have Byron and Francine, Dr. Byron and Francine. Parolas, they've been with us since day dot, Mother Hilda Scott. Thanks to Sister Monica Barlow, who led us through the reflection by Father Dennis Hamm on the scripture this week that we broke open for. The sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, getting pretty close now to Lent, Ash Wednesday, launching into this Lenten season, which is always a wonderful, deep, profound journey. Don't forget, you can go to dow.org.au, getting late, but you'll be able to get yourself a copy of the Lenten program, Daily Reflection Journey, as we journey through this Lenten season with Jesus towards Jerusalem and the passion, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We'll be doing this all again next week. Make sure you join in with us. Go to jcr.org.au if you want to get access to the show, to have it sent to you each and every week. Keep listening in whatever way you can, iTunes, SoundCloud, or one of the over 30 radio stations now around Australia that are taking this show. And we just love partnering with you and hope that it's blessing all of the listeners right around the country. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy and you have been on the journey.
The Journey is produced by Jude Hennessy and edited by Max Norden from the office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.